It's the Ringer Gambling Show, presented by FanDuel. The road to the NBA Finals starts now, and FanDuel is the best place to get in on the action. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Quick Bets, which are back and better than ever for the NBA playoffs on FanDuel. Find what you're looking for faster and easier with more props right at your fingertips. You can check out live bets like three-minute markets and exclusive live bets like quarter player props, player assist combos, and more. So download the app today and bet with FanDuel, official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. Must be 21 plus, 18 plus, and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit rg-help.com.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
Let's roll, baby. Welcome in. Happy New Year, one and all. East Coast Bias, our final show of 2023, which is just really hard to believe on a lot of different fronts, on a lot of different levels. We are so stoked. We have week number 17 in the NFL. We have a college football playoff to get to. And we have a loaded NFL card. As I welcome in Joe House, Raheem Palmer. It's JJ John-Jastrzemski. And boys, you know, the MVP market has taken quite the dramatic turn based upon the results of Monday night. And for what it's worth, Raheem and House, I think it's absolutely ridiculous. You know, it seemed like a foregone conclusion just 3 days ago that Brock Purdy was going to go and win the MVP. He has one bad game, a game in which it really doesn't even matter much for the Niners as far as the one seed. If they win the next two games, they're still the one seed anyway in the NFC. And yet all of a sudden now, Brock Purdy looks like a long shot to go and win this MVP award, and it shapes up for Lamar Jackson if he goes and takes care of business against the Miami Dolphins to go and be the MVP. Raheem, we've hit on this until we're blue in the face. I thought it was insanity to see the sort of line move that we saw on FanDuel, but if you had a Brock Purdy ticket that was juicy, Monday night was not advantageous, amigo. Just saying.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. And at the end of the day, this guy's went from favorite to 14-1 right now on FanDuel Sportsbook. And it's interesting because Lamar Jackson has gone to -210. It's just really tough to tell what the voters are thinking. We know that they're just searching long and hard for a quarterback when, in my opinion, you should be looking at other positions. You should be looking at Christian McCaffrey. You should be looking at Tyreek Hill. But we know those guys aren't going to win. So if Lamar Jackson can pull off the win this week against the Miami Dolphins, he's looking like the guy to win the award.
Yeah, and I'll go even further, Dream and JJ. If we are not going to give it to any position other than quarterback, then it is Lamar Jackson's award. And if they play Miami even and it's close and they end up losing, I still think Lamar Jackson gets it because of the head-to-head. And because he's going to end up, now there has been some shade thrown at Lamar over the touchdown numbers and the passing numbers, but no quarterback in history is going to get to what he's about to get to, which is the combination of rushing yards over 900. And I think it's like 3,700 passing yards. Our guy, Ben Solak, put this out a few weeks ago. There's only one quarterback in the history of the NFL to hit those thresholds. And it's going to be Lamar if he stays healthy. I'm knocking on wood. But to me, this is really the desperate moment that we're in a season where only position players have really distinguished themselves. And I have no problem whatsoever with throwing shade at Brock Purdy. He landed in the logical landing place for him. The reason that he was leading the MVP voter race is because he was using great judgment and executing that offense. And then in the first series against the Ravens, he used bad judgment. He was fooled. He did not execute. They lost the game on that very first scripted series for the 49ers. That interception was the game-changing, the game-losing play. He never restored his confidence, was gone. He looked like a backup. So many backups we've seen this season. So I have no problem whatsoever with the market flipping in the manner in which it did. He showed us who he was, who we thought he was. A lot of people thought that. They've been hating on Brock Purdy. But to me, fine with it. Lamar deserves it. He's going to hit these thresholds. I'm good with it.
I have a question for you guys, because when you look at all the advanced numbers, Brock Purdy is still first in EPA per play plus completion over expectation. He's still first in success rate. This number has gone to 14-1. If Lamar Jackson were to go out there and lose this week, or Josh Allen were to go out there and lose this week, right now, Brock Purdy is 14-1. Is there value on taking him right now? Because like JJ said, he only played terribly one game. Can he reverse course?
That is a great call, Raheem. I think it's a good number, but I think the narrative of what we saw in this Monday night game against Baltimore is going to be just so etched in everybody's minds. And I think it's going to be a narrative that the voters remember going to the ballot box right before the start of the postseason. I kind of think it's too little too late for Brock Purdy, but you kind of led me to a nice little segue here, buddy, which I love. And that's what we do here on this show. If there was going to be somebody to get on board with other than Lamar Jackson, who right now, yes, it's his award to lose, but if the MVP award this year should tell us anything, is when you think it's somebody's award to go and seize, something happens. You know, that's just been the NFL in a nutshell here in 2023. There are a couple names. Maybe it's Josh Allen. Maybe it's Tua with a couple of big games here against Baltimore and against Buffalo over the next 2 weeks. Is there anybody, Raheem? All right, you mentioned Purdy. The Niners win the next two. They're kind of going to be under the radar. They're not playing high-profile game this week. Next week, maybe against the Rams, they are. But I'll give you the board. Is there anybody you'd want to fire on going into the home stretch here?
Like, at this point, there's nobody I want to fire on. You look at Brock Purdy, he has head-to-head wins against the other candidates in Dak Prescott and Jalen Hurts. You look at Josh Allen. This guy is second in interceptions this year behind Sam Howell. This guy was a turnover machine, and now because of the last couple of weeks with this team fighting to get into the postseason, everybody's elevated him. So I have no idea what MVP award voters are even thinking at this point. It's like at this point, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody with more second place or third place votes won. So I'm not going to dump any money into this market at this point.
Dream's all over it. He's absolutely right. This is a don't play under any circumstances, JJ. I could see a world in which Josh Allen throws 10 touchdowns over these last two games and rushes for 200 yards. And people are like, oh my God, the Bills, look what. And if they win the division, right? If something happens with the Dolphins and the Bills win the decision, back the division and they're back from the dead. That's what kind of extraordinary performance. But Josh Allen was the quarterback during those games that they lost, and he had turnovers that were game-losing turnovers. So I think over the space of the entire season, Lamar still above. And I don't know what kind of bad performance Lamar would have for him to lose it at this point. It really was that Christmas night game. And I think it's totally fair, to be honest. Both teams, you know, both guys had the opportunity to show out. It was a heads up competition for the MVP, JJ.
All right, guys, before we get to these loaded card here in week 17, Sean Payton says enough is enough for Russell Wilson this year. I'm glad man's best bet finally came through. I went down the Raheem rabbit hole of taking a team at plus major money. He did it with Denver and Buffalo a few weeks ago. I had to one-up them with the Patriots. What a glorious Christmas Eve it was for me. Dolphins beat the Cowboys. Broncos lose outright to the Patriots. Maybe a couple of drinks deep. We loaded in our FanDuel account. We played that on the money line. It was a thing of beauty. But Raheem, we're not going to see Russell Wilson the last 2 weeks. It's obviously financially driven. They don't want to have to be on the hook to pay Russell Wilson if indeed there's an injury. I got to be thinking next year, Sean Payton is going to be going a different direction at quarterback, right? Like, I think the writing now is on the wall where they stuck through it. They kind of dealt with each other for a year. I feel like Denver will do everything in their power to get out from that contract here in 2024. You see that being the case?
Oh, yeah. In the words of Jules from Pulp Fiction, Russell Wilson is dead as fried chicken. I mean, they're getting rid of this guy. They're throwing him into the bushes. And I think it's the right move. You look at Russell Wilson last week against the Patriots. This guy was just running into sacks. Like, this guy right now, unless he's playing schoolyard football where they're down and out and he's just throwing the deep ball and getting lucky, this guy's not a good quarterback anymore. So it's unfortunate. I love Russell Wilson. I love what he did in Seattle, but this guy's Larry Holmes status, flabby and sick, and it's time to move on.
Yeah, we saw it this season, fellas. He had post-traumatic sack syndrome. I mean, he was very, every time he felt the pressure, you would see him falling down or running. He just doesn't have the same acumen skill set in terms of dealing with a pass rush. And it was the anticipation all season long that Peyton would be looking to go in a different direction. To Russell Wilson's credit, he played up to standard. I mean, the winning streak that they went on, he played a meaningful role. He protected the ball. That was the most important thing. They just had series of injuries at skill positions that they couldn't overcome. And that offense really ended up being middle of the pack. It just wasn't enough for them after the start that they had to overcome what that defense was at the beginning of the season. Because that their season really was over through the first six games because of how bad that defense was. So, but this is a perfectly rational economic decision, JJ.
And you're going to look back on a Seattle-Denver trade that was made a couple of years ago. Highway robbery for John Schneider and Pete Carroll with what they were able to get. And looking at the last 2 years with Russell Wilson. Yes, Wilson bitter with Sean Payton than he was with Nathaniel Hackett just a year ago. But to the point where Denver can be a contender in a loaded AFC, I don't think so. And that exchange we saw in Detroit between Sean Payton and Russell Wilson, I think kind of summed up in a nutshell how the head coach is feeling and why they'll be going in a different direction next year. All right, guys, when we come back, we got a loaded Week 17 card to get to. We have a Saturday game with Dallas and Detroit. We have a monster with Miami and Baltimore. Sunday night, something on the line with Minnesota and Green Bay. We'll break down the entire Week 17 card. East Coast Bias style. That's coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
All right, boys, week 17, we got 2 weeks left in a regular season. Loaded, loaded, loaded Sunday, Saturday card across the board. Let's start with your Cowboys, Raheem. We'll start with the Saturday night game. Detroit goes in. They just won the NFC North. They're taking on a Dallas team that lost back-to-back games. They got smoked by Buffalo. They lost a heartbreaker, evenly matched game against the Dolphins. That fumble on the opening series, you can make the argument it might have decided the game. But now you look at motivation. Detroit's won the division. They're hosting a playoff game. They need a lot to happen to become the number one seed. Dallas is kind of in a spot where it's like, okay, the Cowboys are going to be in the playoffs. The Cowboys are going to need a good chunk to happen in order to go and win the NFC East. So logic would say, hey, Cowboys, two bad performances. They've been money at home. Detroit may be a little hungover after their division title. Good spot to take the Cowboys, but I just got to wonder, are we going to get the dialed-in, locked-in version of the Dallas Cowboys? That's what I'm questioning going into this game. I'll start with you, Mr. Cowboy fan. What's your read on your boys this week?
So you are going to get that dialed-in, locked-in version of the Cowboys, and the reason why is because if you go back and you look at the Dallas Cowboys, I believe it was in 2016, they sat out the end of that year and they came out flat in that divisional round playoff game against the Green Bay Packers. And ever since then, the Cowboys have played these games at the end of the year to just stay in form. Like, it's really important for them to stay in form. If you go back and you look at a lot of these games at the end of the year, they stay in form. A couple of years ago, they beat the Eagles in week 17, 51-26 or something like that. So the Cowboys are going to come out of this game motivated. And more importantly, this game is on Saturday. And because this game is on Saturday, they won't know the results of what's going to happen in the Eagles game. So as far as they're concerned, they need to take care of business before they figure out anything else. So this could be the last game that they actually take serious this year, because if the Eagles win on Sunday, the Eagles will have everything wrapped up. But this is a game I expect them to come out motivated.
Yeah, I totally agree with Dream, JJ. And, you know, we have the added layer here of Detroit kind of accomplishing what they need to accomplish, but it's a tough schedule spot for them that really has me on Dallas. Dream's articulation of why Dallas is motivated, I totally agree with that. They want to get right after those two road games. They love the comforts at home. They've been an absolute truck at home. But look at poor Detroit. They're playing their fourth game in 20 days. It's their second straight road game. It's their third road game in 4 weeks. It's just a tough spot. And they did their thing. They accomplished what they wanted to accomplish. Now, I'm not saying that they won't show up and compete. And for sure, you know, Jared Goff will be comfortable in a dome. And all of their speed guys will be able to run all over that Dallas track. But I think for Dallas, it's much more important for them. They have the incentive. I like Dallas, and I don't mind laying the six, to be honest with you guys.
I don't either. My only thing is motivation, right? Like, Cowboy motivation, but Raheem kind of illustrated it. Hey, they've played out these seasons. They're playing on Saturday. I'm on the Cowboys in this spot. I don't see them losing three in a row. Listen, Raheem, you mentioned it. The last 2 weeks when we broke down Cowboys-Dolphins and when we broke down Cowboys-Bills, Dallas is a different team when you take them and put them on the road. They are back at home this week. Line's a little hungover. Tease the Cowboys, playing minus the six. We like the Cowboys as a family play.
I'm not saying I necessarily like the Cowboys.
You're not in on the six then.
So for me, I look at this line and look, the Cowboys are the superior team. We know the Cowboys are a monster at home. But I'm a little worried about laying the six here just because I think the Lions are going to be able to run the ball. I like the over in this game.
They're going to be points.
There's going to be a lot of points in this game. 51.5. It got bet up to 53.5. And I still don't think that's enough. You're looking at a Cowboys team, which is averaging like 40 points a game at home. The Cowboys team total was 30.5 for a reason. So I like the over in this spot. They're playing a bad Detroit defense. If I had to play this game, I would be looking at either the over for the full game at 53.5 or Cowboys team total over 30.5.
House, I saw your eyes light up. I saw your eyes light up about that team total. I saw it, buddy.
I'm afraid of the Dallas team total, but I love the Detroit team total at 23.5. I think Detroit's going to get to 24. I mean, that one for sure. They're going to play in it, stay in it, play in it. So, but I gotta push back.
How do you like the Cowboys minus six, but then you don't like the Cowboys team total, but you like the Detroit team total? Make it make sense.
I'm just afraid of it. That's all, Dream. That's honest. All I can say.
You know what it is? You got burnt with San Francisco last week, so you got some PTSD.
You're right about that. I sure did get burnt.
And I thought my buddy Sam Darnold was going to pull through for your house at the end of the game, but not to be.
Our opportunity to talk about it. That was Shanahan. That was not on Sam Darnold. Christian McCaffrey got one touch, and it was from 70 yards deep from the 1 yard line. If the masterful play caller Shanahan could come up, they literally were one score away from being back in that game. They were going to be less than a touchdown out of that game with all their timeouts and plenty of time left. And that bum Shanahan, don't put me under pressure, Shanahan. He did the clench that he always does. He had Darnold out there running around trying to throw the ball. Ding dong, the dummy's dead as usual. I'm sorry. I don't like losing in the manner that I lost that bet.
You know what? I'm glad you said that, House, because This is why I'm skeptical on San Francisco going forward, because they haven't faced adversity all season long. And every single time they face adversity against these AFC North teams, they fold like a cheap suit. And I think if they get into a close playoff game, whether it's with the Eagles, whether it's with the Cowboys, whether it's with the Lions, you could see that same issue show up.
Interesting front runner angle for the Niners. Now, as a team, they've played their fair share of close playoff games over the last couple of years, different quarterbacks, you know, different situations. But this year, you're right, they have been a bully team. And we'll see if they're able to bully throughout the course of this postseason. All right, guys, I'm biased, but it's the game of the week. I don't even think it's close. It's Miami going into Baltimore. Miami, a 3.5-point dog in the game. And I'm going to give my thoughts last on this. And I'm going to start with you, Raheem. After what everybody saw on Monday night, Lamar lighting up the Niners, the Raven defense embarrassing Brock Purdy. Am I totally off base in thinking this, or is this an accurate depiction? I get the sense everybody and their mother is betting Baltimore in this game. Do you agree with that?
I kind of get that sense, but it just feels like you're going to have like the sharps or the semi-sharps wanting to back Miami. But the thing that scares me about this game is that Miami's injury report continues to be a problem. You look at Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. They didn't practice this week. You look at a lot of guys on that offensive line. It's still an issue. So I don't know how to really approach this game. I think sharps will really approach it as Miami plus 3.5 or nothing. But the thing that stands out in my mind is that these two teams played last year, and Baltimore absolutely dominated them in that first half. And they were able to rush the quarterback. Lamar Jackson got whatever they wanted. And then in that second half, you had Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle just absolutely take over. So I'm personally probably going to stay away from this game, but you got to look at that injury report because that's everything right now.
So as far as the injuries, House, Tyreek Hill is going to play. He got better as the game went along against the Cowboys, made some big plays in the fourth quarter. He's going to play. Waddle is the interesting one because he left the game. They're talking about a high ankle. McDaniel didn't rule him out. He said it's not severe, but you can't be surprised if you don't see Jalen Waddle in this game. Here's my problem, House, with last year's game, looking at it. It's a totally different Dolphin team. That Dolphin team did not have Vic Fangio calling plays. That Dolphin team was the product of the zero blitz. That's what their MO was in trying to stop Jackson. It worked a few years ago. It failed miserably in the game last year, and Lamar smoked them. It's going to be a much different game plan. My take on this game, and I get where Raheem's coming from, because Miami is beat up. We got to see on Baltimore with Kyle Hamilton if he's going to play. That's a big loss for them if he doesn't in that secondary. I think this game is an under game. I do. I thought it was an under game with the Cowboys and the Dolphins, and I was right. And I think it's going to be an under game where Baltimore's physicality and Miami's underrated physicality is going to be 27-23-20. That's how I look at this game, House. I lean Dolphins, I'm not going to lie, but I'm not going to let emotion get in the way. I think this game is tight, and I think this game is low scoring. How about that?
Well, one very interesting dynamic, and we're still kind of midweek. We'll see how the number moves, but the fact that the number has stayed at 3.5, even with the injury stuff that we're going through here, kind of tells you something. And I'm concerned. I'm glad you mentioned Kyle Hamilton. That's the guy that I want to keep my eye on. And then Raheem Mostert showing up questionable. I'm not sure what that's all about, JJ. I don't love that.
He's going to play. He got nicked up in a Cowboy game. He came back in the game. Now, the end of the game, when they needed the tough yards to win it, it was Jeff Wilson. It was not Raheem Mostert, but he's tough. And he's a guy I don't worry about with practice time either because he's been in McDaniel and Shanahan's system for 10 zillion years. He don't need to practice. Get him right. We'll see you on the field Sunday. You know what I mean, House?
Yeah. Well, I like that, but I think the only way that I'm inclined to play it as we sit down here for this Thursday show is the under. I think that's a really good angle here. I think both teams, you know, short week for Baltimore coming off of like, you know, the game of the year, traveling back cross country, not a great spot for them. They're also not great as favorites of more than 3 points at home. If you look at the numbers, they're not great. The same is true of Lamar. When they're favorites of more than 3 points, it's not a great outcome. So I don't mind the idea of there being support for Miami. I'm not going to play a side, but the under looks like a good angle here.
We're recording this on Wednesday, and just 8 minutes ago, Tua actually popped up on an injury report with a left thumb and quad injury. He was limited in practice today. I just think that injury report is just such a mess for the Dolphins. You're looking at Teron Armstead. He didn't practice today. So many guys didn't practice today for the Dolphins that I think JJ is right on the money. I think this is an underplay.
It's an underplay. A lot of those guys that we're mentioning, with the exception of Jalen Waddle, this is a monster game for the Dolphins. They're going to be out there. Tyreek Hill is playing. Teron Armstead is playing. Tua is playing. Like, it's a monster game. We're not in week 4 or 5 where it's like, oh, these coaches, they're going to be a little bit more careful. They're going to be a little bit more judicious as far as injuries. No, they're playing house. These are big games.
The division's on the line, JJ, because you expect the Bills to handle their business this week, and then they're going to play the Bills next week for the division if Miami loses this game. So it's crucial for Miami.
No doubt about it. All right, guys, let's hit 2 more here before we step aside. We have the Raiders, the resurgent Raiders, spunky, spirited, fun, easy to root for with Antonio Pierce, going into Indy. It's a short week for the Raiders. We know how tough they are, but they're also limited from an offensive standpoint. I'm seeing this line at 3.5 for him. The Raiders are good to me on Christmas Day. They gave me a nice little present plus the points. I have enjoyed betting them with Antonio Pierce. That said, I think this is an Indianapolis Colts spot on Sunday, dude. I do. And I hope I'm wrong on this because I want to root for the Raiders. I want them to be in it the final week of the year. You just had your game of all games at Arrowhead against the Chiefs. Now you got to play 6 days later against the Colt team that got embarrassed by Atlanta. This is an awful spot for the Raiders. Awful, awful, awful spot for the Raiders.
So I love what Antonio Pierce is doing right now. And he ruined our win total because we had the Raiders
yes,
under.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. It's his fault. But I love you, but it is clearly your fault, Antonio. You could coach.
Yeah, like,
and you better be
we
the coach
bet on this
year.
Win total thinking Josh McDaniels would coach out the year and maybe he'd get fired and they'd stink and Antonio Pierce ruined our money. But last week, this Raiders team won a game in which Aiden O'Connell didn't complete a pass after the first quarter. This is a clear sell high spot on the Raiders. And I think you just, if you have to play this game, you have to play the Colts. But I don't know if I want to play it because I just don't necessarily trust this Colts defense at all. And I think the Raiders defense has been playing lights out. So I'm going to pass. But if you do take it, you got to take the Colts.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'll be looking for some combination plays with these Colts. I'll put them in some money line parlay action. This is just another one of these situations where it's a bad spot, like the Lions, who've been on the road a whole bunch. This is for the Raiders, not only the short week, but it's their fourth game in 21 days. And that upset of the Chiefs really was their season achievement. I mean, seriously, Antonio Pierce, you got to give it up for that dude. I like the Colts just fine here.
I think him and his days with the New York Giants, and I hope Josh McDaniels.
I'm sure you do.
I'm sure. I hope Josh McDaniels enjoyed yet another victory speech talking about that Super Bowl. I mean, my goodness, what a loser. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Never should coach in the NFL as a head coach ever again. All right, guys. Last but not least, Bucks, Saints. Monster game for Tampa. Tampa, another team house that was good to me last week. I loved them against Jacksonville. They smoked them. Baker Mayfield lights out. Trevor Lawrence played in that game. Maybe shouldn't have played in that game. Be that as it may. Now you look at this line. Raheem talks about sell high spots. It feels like this is a sell high spot on the Bucs, but I watched the Saints on Thursday. I know who the coach is. I know who the quarterback is. I don't care what the spot may dictate. House, there's no way in the world I'm betting the Saints. I'm either betting Tampa or I'm not betting the game. And I'm leaning towards not betting the game. Just throwing it out there. I am not putting my good hard-earned American dollars on Dennis Allen and Derek Carr. No, thank you. Can't do it.
Can't do it. I know. I mean, it was on paper, it's a great buy low spot on New Orleans. It's a great sell spot on the Bucks. The Bucks, you know, 4-game win streak and Baker leading them to this division lead and probably division win. But I mean, we just can't look at ourselves in the mirror and, you know, have a good feeling about having anything to do with Derek Carr or Dennis Allen. Just can't do it. Not going to be able to do it. That's the old Jalen line. Just not going to be able to do it. Even though I don't understand, you know, what the correct play is. The correct play is probably New Orleans, but I'm just not going to do any. I can't do it. I can't do it, Dream.
Yeah, the sharp money's going to be on New Orleans here. But I want to remind everybody, earlier this year, October 1st, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they played the Saints 26-9. They absolutely dominated that game. The Saints were 4.5-point favorites. Now, we're looking at Tampa Bay at -3.5. So the Sharps are going to look at that and say that's way too big of an adjustment. But I don't know how you can trust the Saints team at all. You're looking at Derek Carr. You're looking at Dennis Allen. Also, I think Lattimore is still out. And Mike Evans is just, I mean, he's making his Hall of Fame case right now. And I just don't want to back the Saints at all. So I think the Sharps will be on the Saints. I'm going to pass this game.
I can't believe we're living in a world where I trust Todd Bowles and I trust Baker Mayfield more than any coach quarterback combo in the NFC South. And I don't even think it's close. Just think about that for a minute. So go Baker Mayfield. From a watchability standpoint in the postseason, I would much rather sit down and watch Baker and watch that Tampa team that's been fun over the last few weeks as opposed to watching crummy Atlanta or crummy New Orleans. No offense, fan bases. Your teams this year in 2023, they're in the unwatchable category. All right, we'll come back. Get you ready for the 4 o'clock window. A couple of big games, a couple of juicy games that's coming your way next. All right, boys, let's get to the 4 o'clock window. Steelers, Seahawks. In many ways, it's like an elimination game for both of these two teams. This is a Super Bowl rematch from a long, long time ago, probably the worst officiated Super Bowl in the history of my lifetime. That's how bad it was with Bill Levy and the Steelers getting offensive pass interference calls. And you wonder if Seattle maybe is owed one. Seattle is favored by 3.5 in this game. Raheem, you know, Mason Rudolph looked far more comfortable. He looked far more competent than what we saw from Trubisky. But now you put him on the road against the Seahawks team that desperately needs the game. I'll defer to you on this. Where do we stand? Steelers, Seahawks, 4 o'clock.
So this total is where I want to highlight it. Open at 42.5. Let's go under 41.5. I just think the Steelers, they got a bunch of chunk plays last week. George Pickett was running up and down the field. It just felt like the Bengals didn't want to play any defense at all, especially coming off of that overtime comeback win against the Vikings. This week will be a lot different. Mason Rudolph will not be throwing the ball up and down the field against the Seahawks defense. And then this Seahawks offense still leaves a lot to be desired. So I expect this to go under. So let's just bet the under, look for a low scoring game.
Dream got it, JJ. That is exactly the play here. And I'll give a shout out to Joe Osborne, covers.com. He pulled out this nugget. The Steelers have gone under the second half total in 12 of their 15 games. And on the road, 5 of 6 games, the average combined score in Pittsburgh's second halves is 16.7 points. The second half total for this game, 20.5. That's another way to play it. It's an under affair, JJ.
It's going to be a gross game. I get the idea of fading Mason Rudolph on the road. I totally get that. But the Steelers with Mike Tomlin getting points, I mean, that history tells us that there's some value there, Raheem, with that 3.5.
Tomlin never had a losing season, and he only needs one more win to clinch a non-losing season here.
And oh, by the way, they play at Baltimore in week 18. Steelers don't win this game, we will be talking about the first losing season in the Mike Tomlin era. All right, guys. Kansas City at home, taking on Cincinnati. This is a game we thought at the beginning of the year was going to be as juicy as it gets. Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes. It's the AFC title game each of the last 2 years. Spoiler alert, I do not think this will be the AFC title game for the third consecutive year. You have Kansas City coming off a loss. You have Cincy coming off a throttling against Pittsburgh. I can't believe I'm saying this, Raheem. I think it's a good buy-low spot for the Chiefs. I do. I know it's a short week. I know Cincinnati has had their number, and Anarumo has schemed up some very good game plans against Kansas City, and Kansas City struggles to score. I just think we're getting the reckoning from Jake Browning. I think we saw it against Pittsburgh. I think we're going to see it here against an angry, ticked-off Chief team. I think the Chiefs come to play here in this game. And I maybe they're only going to get to 24, 27 points. I just think Cincinnati's going to have a hard time scoring here. I'm okay teasing it, and I'm even okay laying the number. I like Kansas City in this spot.
Yeah, we're in complete agreement. And a big reason why is this Bengals defense is abysmal. 30th in EPA per play. I think Patrick Mahomes is probably going to have his best game in about 5-6 games because I expect him to carve this defense up. I think they're going to find something. They're going to find their rhythm. Travis Kelce might even score a touchdown here. I don't know if Taylor Swift's going to be in the building, but I don't think it's going to matter. The Chiefs win this game.
Yeah, I'm playing it the same way. This might be one of my combos for my money line parlay. I might have Chiefs, Colts, and then I have to find one more little favorite along the way here to make this get that parlay up to 2-1. I like the Chiefs to win. I'm not going to mess around with the number, even though I can easily see the narrative that we're talking into existence here, which is the Chiefs getting right. The Chiefs get right spot was supposed to be Christmas Monday. We were all sitting down with our buffet lunch and getting ready to just relax post-presence. They didn't get right. They got wrong. But maybe this is the thing because that Bengals defense cures all ailments, it seems. I mean, certainly for Pittsburgh, another 400-yard performance out of the Pittsburgh offense. Who saw that coming? Chiefs on the money line will be the way I'll play it.
Tell you this, Chiefs can't go and take down Cincinnati. I don't want to hear from Kansas City the rest of the year. Simple as that. All right, guys. Sunday Night Football. Basically an elimination game. Packers and Vikings. The NFL, I think, was strategic. New Year's Eve. They said, let's have our marquee game at 1:00. You know, that way you take your significant other maybe out to dinner. Maybe you're going to a New Year's Eve party. I mean, I might be doing all of the above. Actually, I don't have a party on the schedule. I am taking the gal out to dinner after the 4:00 games, get back after dinner, slide in for the second quarter, and I'll have some action on this game. Raheem, the Vikings have had opportunities each of the last 2 weeks to go and win games. They had a chance against the Lions. They couldn't get it done. Mullins threw the back-breaking pick. They couldn't get a yard in back-to-back weeks or back-to-back situations against Cincinnati 2 weeks ago with a chance to go and win that one. I kind of get the sense here that the levy in some ways is kind of broken for the Vikings. You know, they lose their quarterback. They've been spunky. I kind of wonder here in this game if they're just kind of deflated from the last 2 weeks and you could take advantage of that with the Packers. Not that I trust the Packers. Not that this is a strong play for me in the least. I just wonder where Minnesota is going to be at from a mental standpoint going into this game. I do.
You know, speaking of deflating, they also lost their star tight end, TJ Hockenson. He tore his ACL and is out for the season. So that's just another loss and just another injury, which just, it just puts the Vikings down in the dumps. And you look at Nick Mullins, this is a guy who, he threw 4 interceptions last week. And if he doesn't throw 4 interceptions, they probably win that game. They were then
won. We should have won that one, Raheem. I'm so with you there. And I felt dirty. I had Detroit. That was like, oh, I had Minnesota. That was like my only loss to the card. It was a great Christmas, by the way. Very, very great Christmas for me. Just throwing that out there. I haven't had many, so I'm going to take it. I'm going to run with it. That was one where I felt like Minnesota should have won that game. I felt that the last 2 weeks, Dream. I'm done with the Vikings. I cannot bet them again. I cannot do it.
Yeah, and like, honestly, we don't know if Nick Mullins is going to start. It might be Jaren Hall. So it just feels like this team is in a ton of turmoil. I think this is an over game. I think this is a lot of points going to be scored in this game. I think it's up to 46.5. It was 45. I probably would play the 46.5, but also I would lean towards the Packers. I think the Packers, Jordan Love, like we know their coach's pedigree when it comes to December games. So I would lean to the Packers.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as Dream here, and it really just boils down to the injury thing. The poor Vikings just it just bit them too hard this season. Addison is questionable at best. I don't know what how he showed up on the injury report and what practice he had today, but the Hockenson blow is just one step too far for them. It is fun to see Justin Jefferson back out there, though, making spectacular plays to help his team try and win football games. But the problem is the guy who has the rock at center. And I mean, Jalen Hall or Nick Mullins, I don't like the answer to either one of those. I like Green Bay here. Thinnest margin still to jump into the playoffs. They have to win this one. I think it's possible.
Guys, we'll get you set for Thursday night. I can't believe a team with Joe Flacco starting a quarterback is fascinating, intriguing, and a monster favorite. We have you covered on that. We'll have some picks for the college football playoff, all that and more. It's coming right back. Let's do a little potpourri, a little grab bag. Thursday night game, and then I have a quick NBA thought I want to get to. Browns and Jets, 7.5 now. Jets are keeping everybody, as we know, house. The Browns have been so much fun with Joe Flacco. The narrative and the storyline with this game that's fascinating is Joe Flacco going up against the team he was with a year ago, and I got news for you. If Joe Flacco was behind a Jet offensive line, he most certainly would not be having this success. I think this number is way too high. I know the Browns' defense is great. I know you're going to tell me how the Jets are going to score with Trevor Siemian. I am not laying 7.5 with Joe Flacco. I'm sorry, I can't do it. I won't do it. I think the Jet defense, which has been spunky and feisty all year, I'm going to hold my nose and grab 7.5. I know it's probably a mistake, House, but I'm going to do it.
Well, you also don't have to play it. I was interested.
No, I knew. It's the last Thursday night game of the year. You're being kind, but I'm going to play. It's the last Thursday night game of the year. Yes, I'm playing it.
I was hunting for Jets team total under 14.5. The FanDuel Sportsbook has it at 12.5, so that's a stay away. The line is 7.5, feels like kind of a stay away as well. I do recognize, acknowledge, give appreciation to and for what the Cleveland Browns do at home. And I think that defense will come out. They still have a chance to win their division against all odds, the Cleveland Browns. So they're going to come out and give that effort. I don't like the Jets on a short week traveling to Cleveland. The difference between that Cleveland defense at home and on the road is stunning. I'm with you in terms of being skeptical about laying all those points. But I do like the idea of the Browns stifling that Jets offense. So I'm going to try and figure out a way. I don't know if I could do it at 12.5 team total for the Jets, though. That's just, you know, that lets in too many dummy opportunities, Dream.
Yeah, so the one thing we know is that the Browns defense at home, they're a monster in 8 games this season, 13.1 points per game. And I don't expect that to change against the Jets with Trevor Siemian. This total is 35. And I can see where JJ is thinking. I mean, you're looking at a spread, which is 25% of the total. Like 7.5 is huge when you consider the total is 35 points. I'm going to play the under here. If that's how I had to play this game, I don't know if I'm necessarily going to play it, but I'd play under 35. I'd probably play first half under 17.5, which they have right now on FanDuel Sportsbook. But I don't want to touch a side. I don't want to lay 7.5 with Joe Flacco. But then I don't want to take the Jets. So it's an underplay for me.
Well, fellas, we had all the NFL on Christmas Day. We had the NBA too. Big win for the Celtics over the Lakers. The Suns continue to be a mess. Nice start to my day with the Knicks covering 3.5, winning outright against the Bucks. But Raheem, forget about the Christmas games. Are the Pistons ever going to win a game again? I mean, in all seriousness, I know it's now becoming like a running joke and a running meme. They may never win a game again. I'm just saying, do we have any idea when we think Detroit might get their next win? They should put that up on FanDuel, by the way. Thank me later.
Yeah, at this point, it's looking bleak. I mean, Kate Cunningham is doing the best he can, and they still can't win a game. I mean, you look at their schedule. They got the Boston Celtics on the road, the Toronto Raptors. Then they got a road trip with the Rockets, the Jazz, the Warriors, and the Nuggets. So I mean, it's clear that they're probably not going to win another game in 2023. And who knows how they start off 2024. We're looking at historic stuff right here.
The only thing about them, and you know, the Podfather on his show with the NBA coverage, the point that he's made is the right point. With the way the three-point shooting variance is these days, the really shocking thing with Detroit is that they haven't gotten hot for just one game.
When it only the game takes, when they go and hit 20 or 25 threes. That's an excellent point, Haas. Yeah. Excellent point.
And look, Toronto and Houston are both opportunities where that could happen. That could be the thing. I love the effort by Cade. I mean, they were right there last night, Tuesday night, trying to handle get across that goal line. So I think they're going to get one of these here in the next handful. I don't love this West Coast swing coming up, but you know, I'm not even really afraid of Golden State. And that's another conversation for another day. But Houston, Toronto, Golden State, they're one of those. I feel like they got it in them.
You know what? Here's the other element to it. The other element is that no one wants to be the team who loses to Detroit. So Bingo. It's like, you know how everybody plays when they play the NBA champion, they want to give them their best shot. The Pistons are getting everybody's best shot because nobody wants to lose to them. It's like they're playing the Denver Nuggets every single night.
I don't blame them. If I were an NBA team, I'd feel the exact same way. It ain't going to be us. It ain't going to be us. All right, boys, we'll come back. We got best bets for week 17 and, some picks maybe for what you'll see on New Year's Day with the college football playoff. That's next. All right, boys, a little bit of a hybrid to say goodbye. We have a college football playoff on New Year's Day. So we're going to combine our best bets for week 17 with the play on what you're going to see with the two semifinal games, where you will have Michigan taking on Alabama in the Rose Bowl. I cannot wait for that. And then you will have Washington and Texas, two real good feel-good stories in the second game. The lines, in case you were wondering, on FanDuel, Bama +1.5. Texas laying the 4.5. And if you want to play the national championship odds, we might have done that. House and I might already be invested in Alabama. So, guys, give me a pick for the New Year's Day games and then give me a week 17 pick. House, I'll start with you.
Well, JJ, you know, my bias for Alabama is well established and well known. Give me Alabama on the money line. Give me Alabama catching points. This Michigan offense, now that you had a chance to really sit down and do some of the analytics, the math, they don't have nearly the explosive potential to score and keep up with Alabama. I think this number is going to flip by Monday. Let me have Alabama in this dog position all day long. And then I'm on a money line parlay for the NFL. We talked it right into existence. I love the Chiefs. I love the Colts. And let's go ahead and put the Packers 3-leg money line parlay. That's how we collect to ring in the new year, fellas.
Let's hear it. All right, Dream, what do you got?
I'm going to go with Michigan here. I think a lot of public is going to be all over Alabama, but Michigan's been one of the best teams all season long. So I'm going to ride with Michigan. You can take a money line. You can take a -1.5. I think they win this game. And then for the NFL, we spoke about this game earlier. I'm going to go with the Dallas Cowboys, Detroit Lions over 53.5. Those primetime unders are dead. It's a thing of the past. We're going to get a shootout on Saturday night.
All right, guys, best bets. I like Texas. I just think they're a superior team to Washington. I think Washington has been incredibly fortunate all year in college football to pull out a bunch of these games. Some are going to say they have Tiger blood. I'm going to go with the more well-rounded, talented roster. And I think we will have a Texas-Bama rematch in the national championship game. I'm too invested in Alabama futures, so I'm not giving out that side. I'm going with the Longhorns, laying the 4.5. Against the Washington Huskies in the night game. As far as the NFL, I'm going with the total. I hinted it earlier. I think Miami and Baltimore is going to be rock 'em sock 'em. I think it's going to be ugly, and I think it's going to be a lot more low scoring than it was in the shootout affair we saw just a season ago. No Jalen Waddle. Baltimore looking to run the ball, maybe neutralize that Miami pass rush. I think that game goes under the total. So I'll go Dolphin Raven under. Texas Longhorns, our final picks for 2023. Boys, happy new year. I will see you for New Year's Eve festivities. Ringer Wise Guys, 11 a.m. Eastern. Housewives Pod with Sharp later in the week. The East Coast Bias Boys will be back for 2024. We can't wait. Final week of the regular season. Good job, Oregon Warrior. Boys are out. Be good, everybody. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG. Colorado, Iowa, Kentucky, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9 within Indiana, 1-800-522-4700, or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-gambler.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 1-800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.